Welcome. I'm going to resist the urge to say good morning. It's good morning on my biological clock only at this point. So thanks for joining us for a deep dive on Azure automation. My name is Pete Zerger. I'm a principal program manager at a software company called Cyrus, and we work in the system center space. I'm a cloud and data center MVP with a friend of mine of local renown, for sure.
My name is Tao Yang. I'm also a cloud and data center MVP based in Melbourne. I'm an independent consultant. Glad to be here presenting with Pete today.
Yeah, I say of local renown. Actually, everybody knows him in Texas, too. We just can't get him to visit. We'll have to work on that. So today, we're really going to cover a lot of ground with Azure Automation, and we really want to give you some information you can take away and use. So to that end, we're going to show you a lot of things today, and we'll tell you how you can download the lot. So we really wanted to make sure that everything we show you, you can take away, put your hands on it, and make some interesting things happen. So we'll talk through Azure Automation, as an engine for runbook automation, and we'll talk through all of the features that have come. I have no doubt we're going to touch on features that you've never seen before, because I think every time I think I'm caught up, you blink, and there's something new. In fact, demos that we put together 2 weeks ago, we were tweaking again as things changed and evolved. So a lot going on for sure. And we'll take you into some interesting territory with the new hybrid worker, really taking the public cloud into your data center in some pretty interesting ways. So let's start by understanding a little bit about who we have in the room. So how many of you have worked with Azure Automation a little bit? A lot bit. Wow. Yeah, so a couple of you, good. System Center, Config Man, Ops Man, DPM, just kidding, yeah. PowerShellers, everybody's doing some PowerShell, yeah, great, so we're good. What are we missing here?
GitHub. Has anyone not used GitHub before, or has anyone used GitHub? Any kind of source control?
Yeah, no worries. If you haven't used GitHub before, Tal's going to sort you out. OMS, Operations Management Suite. Who's heard of OMS? A lot of you? Okay, so if you haven't heard of OMS, it's a whole other animal. We're going to touch on an integration point there ever so briefly. Definitely look up in the guide all the sessions you can find this week on OMS. It's going to be a big topic of discussion as you move into hybrid automation, for sure. So you'll get a bit of flavor here, just not a great deal. One more show of hands. How many of you are using Orchestrator today? System Center Orchestrator. So a few. Any SMA users?
Okay.
Nope. It's all right. We'll bring you back. Lost you there. So Orchestrator, if you're not familiar, is the now the legacy engine. So if we think about Orchestrator, it's really Visio for runbook automation, right? I can drag, I can drop, I can connect things. It's fairly simple stuff, and I think it's that user-friendliness that sort of made that a very popular platform. There are some challenges with Orchestrator, so certainly when we look at parallelism, restart.
Yep, 32-bit engine.
32-bit engine, Orchestrator loves to kick off 32-bit PowerShell. Checkpointing, so if I'm running a really long automated process, every now and again after major tasks, I like to set a checkpoint. That's not a native capability in Orchestrator. Certainly, all of us have worked around that, in one way or another using external databases and so forth. And Orchestrator is a legacy engine. Microsoft has said publicly, we're not investing anymore. They are refreshing to System Center 2016. So when we come to the new platform in 2016, you can at least rest assured that your runbooks will continue to function. And just about, what was it, 2 or 3 days ago? Microsoft released the rest of an Orchestrator migration toolkit. In particular, a component that will convert your Orchestrator runbooks into a PowerShell format that will work in Azure Automation. So it's certainly not a zero-sum game here. No doubt, if you're using Orchestrator today, you're probably not going to walk out of here and stop tomorrow, but there's going to be a comfortable migration path that Microsoft supports for you. So SMA, which was released a couple of years ago or better now, was the answer, the new engine. for Runbook Automation. It's PowerShell workflow based, which solves a number of problems. So the parallelism problem, checkpointing, all of that's possible in SMA. The challenge is it's PowerShell workflow. So how many of you use PowerShell workflow every day? So there are a few of you. Congratulations. Wow. PowerShell workflow is great for those long-running processes where we need checkpointing. We need to control parallel and serial behavior. In fact, if we want to run a PowerShell script in a PowerShell workflow runbook, bad enough, we can. There's an inline script tag, which is great. However, when we embed a PowerShell script in PowerShell workflow for the sake of maintaining that comfort level, we lose some capability to debug.
Yeah, and the deserialization of the output. So if you are putting an object, then that's deserialized when it's output from the inline script.
Yeah, so I think the good news is there. When Azure Automation was released, it was PowerShell workflow too. So we would often talk about Azure Automation as being SMA as a service, so really just a cloud-based version. And since then, so much has changed. So now we have support for PowerShell runbooks in Azure Automation, so we can go out and tap all of those many, 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 many PowerShell examples on the internet.
Yep.
Build those into runbooks. There's even an authoring, a basic authoring UI for building graphical runbooks we'll show you today. How many of you have worked with PowerShell DSC? So desired state configuration? Few folks, okay. It's possible in Azure Automation now to set up a pull server in the cloud, and your on-prem and cloud-based virtual machines can subscribe to that DSC capability so we can control configurations in hybrid environments. So lots of capability. So if you're using Orchestrator today, great. You know, we absolutely encourage you to take a look at Azure Automation to start working with that. If you're not already using SMA, I think we would suggest you start by looking at Azure Automation. And the reason I say that is Microsoft made a very clear announcement at the first Ignite conference in Chicago. They said we're going to invest in a cloud-first manner. And where it makes sense to bring features on-prem, we're going to do that. And where it doesn't, we won't. So if working with the latest capabilities is really important to you, Azure Automation is going to be nice. If you'd like to automate your processes on-premises, the hybrid worker we're going to show you today will address that concern. So definitely all things are possible. And your typical automation scenarios really are, insert your scenario here, right? So you can deploy virtual machines, we'll provision an Active Directory account today. We can integrate with System Center. We'll actually give you some hands-on there and show you some System Center integration with Azure via the hybrid worker to sort of bridge that gap, which makes adopting Azure Automation in a hybrid scenario very, very easy to do. So really, if you can do it with Orchestrator, chances are we can do it with Azure Automation and then some. So let's talk about assets. So when you get into the Azure portal, and when we talk about the portal, we're talking about the Azure V2 portal. We're talking about portal.azure.com. So nothing that we describe today is going to be Azure V1. We're all sort of into the wild blue yonder of the future. But when we get into the area of assets, so when we get into our automation dashboard, we have to start with an automation account. So that's a container of sorts that's going to hold all of our automation resources. And we can use our dashboard to come in and look at all of the elements of automation as we set those up and manage them in our environment. So some of those elements are runbooks. We're all familiar with runbooks. When I initiate a runbook and kick off a new instance, that's a job. So a job goes out, it runs its course, it logs information that you can see in the Azure portal. So if I want to see the output of a specific job, if I want to see an error message, I can go to the portal, click jobs, look at my history, click a button. Bob's your uncle. It's all right there. assets. So just as we would in Orchestrator, just as we would in SMA, we need to store certain elements. So if you have a value that you'd like to store and reuse repeatedly, we call that a variable.
Yep.
Which entertainingly behaves exactly like a constant. It's, you know, something that's the same all the time. Never mind that. Splitting hairs there. Schedules. Much like Orchestrator, we can schedule a job to run on recurring intervals. Credentials, exactly what you probably think. I can store a username and a password securely in the cloud behind my certificates. I can manage connections. Now, connections are an interesting concept. So if I were to equate this to something in Orchestrator, for you Orchestrator folks, you know how you can go into your settings and you can create the connection into Operations Manager or into Config Manager? A connection is very much like that. What's fantastic about these connections is anybody who creates a PowerShell module, they can create a custom connection for you. So you'll see connections today for OMS, for Ops Manager.
Yep.
Which my fine friend here actually wrote into his PowerShell module. So if you write your own PowerShell module, if you want to create that connection, which is really the username, the password, and then the service or server that I'm connecting into, we can do all of that, but all possible right here in the console. So let's just run over and have a look at my, I've already created my automation account. That's a click next, create your automation account type operation, and I'll show you my dashboard. So here you'll see in my automation account, I have quite a few runbooks, but I have some assets. So let's drill down into the assets and just have a quick look around to see what those look like. So you see my runbooks, you see my schedules. So what the heck are modules? Let's take a look at that. I didn't mention modules to you. So modules are PowerShell modules. So when we want to work with a new technology, if it's vSphere or insert the name of your third-party component here, I can zip up that PowerShell module, and what that means is go down to the directory where that module is installed, right-click zip, and then you're going to import it here. It's very, very uncomplicated. I'm going to add a module.
Yeah, I just want to say that's probably another advantage comparing to Orchestrator, that amount of PowerShell modules that's out there at the moment, comparing to how many integration packs. You do the comparison, there's probably hundreds of thousands of modules out there you can grab, comparing how many integration packs we have there.
Although we won't all be like Tao, and when we don't find a PowerShell module, we just write our own. we're certainly a lot more flexible. That's a great point. Let's jump in and look at connections. These are actually very interesting. So when I get in here and I look at my connections, you'll see that I have connections to my Azure AD, the Operations Management Suite. You see SMTP notifications. So I've got connectivity to my mail server, basically. What's that SP request site? Is that SharePoint?
Yes, that's a SharePoint.
Yeah.
It's an AD.
Okay,
it's
so,
an AD connection.
So we can store connections for virtually anything, and then as you load PowerShell modules, you can basically come in here and with that drop-down see what sort of connections are available to you in your modules. So what happens if my PowerShell module doesn't have a connection? Well,
you can define one in a JSON format and then just put that JSON file inside your module when you zip it up, and once you upload it, should appear here. I'll show you an example later on.
Great.
Yep.
And if you don't have a master's degree in JSON, you could even just store the credentials, the username and password, and then store your server name in a variable.
Yep.
So that would be the taking it old school equivalent, if there is such a thing in Azure. Which is exactly how we would have done it in Orchestrator if we didn't have a connection. So very, very similar in that respect. If I jump in and look at runbooks, I'll just drill down right here. when I add runbooks, we're going to see that I can create a new runbook. The blades are just popping out each time I click. Here you'll see I can pick PowerShell workflow, and by and large, if it ran an SMA, PowerShell workflow is PowerShell workflow. We do need the PowerShell module up here, but it should run up here. There's no reason,
yep.
Generally speaking. You've got PowerShell now, which was added to the menu recently, and you have graphical. So what limitations do we have on graphical, Tao?
So when you do graphical runbooks, you can call child runbooks from graphical runbooks. But currently, if you are calling child runbooks in graphical runbooks, you can only call PowerShell workflow-based runbooks. You can't call a PowerShell runbook in a graphical runbook at the moment.
Nice, nice. So we'll actually get to graphical runbooks a bit later. Tao has an excellent demo there. We want to take time to show you to kind of drill down into that capability. So let's talk about your authoring options. So you do have a graphical option. And the graphical option, it's not that it doesn't have its place. I think it does. I think the challenge is we can drag a handful of items onto the
onto the
palette.
It's called canvas.
Yeah, the canvas.
Yep.
I like the palette, but so you can the canvas, the palette. You can drag PowerShell commandlets out there. We can also drag runbooks out there. So if you drag a PowerShell commandlet onto the canvas, what you'll find is that you're graphically configuring each parameter of that commandlet, which means it's going to take exponentially longer. So I don't think the graphical interface is quite suited for that.
Yep.
But if we think about where it does make sense, I think if you're building runbooks, you know, modular runbooks, just as we would in Orchestrator or SMA, I can drag runbooks onto this canvas and stitch them together very nicely with the GUI interface. So I think that's going to be kind of a sweet spot for that sort of thing. So something that was released not too long ago was an Azure Automation add-in for the PowerShell ISE. And I have to say, this module actually just works. It makes authoring, testing, and debugging your runbooks on-prem, on your laptop, in PowerShell ISE very, very easy. I can synchronize with my account, so if I create things on-prem, I can sync those up to the cloud. So it allows me to use my automation activities, all of my assets. I can create them, I can edit them, I can synchronize them, track any changes in state. So when you look at your runbooks and your assets, you're going to notice in my environment even, you'll see things where it'll tell you created locally, updated in the cloud, in sync, cloud only. We have that status, and I can pretty quickly and pretty easily change that status by synchronizing those particular assets just with the click of a button. So there's really not much to it once you've authenticated. And then we can actually test and publish straight from the ISE. So let's just have a quick look at the add-in. So the add-in is actually published out on GitHub. Installing it's a piece of cake. Do make sure that you've got PowerShell 5 loaded. You've got the latest Azure.
Yeah, so if you have PowerShell 5 loaded or using Windows 10, you can install directly from PowerShell Gallery. Just one command, install module, then the module name. You don't even have to download it.
Yeah, if you're on 8.1 and PowerShell 4, you're going to download a little executable, which is not a lot more work, but it's a little bit of work. And when you're running the latest and greatest everything, you're also going to get the create new option, which is not going to show up with the original release of the Azure Automation add-in. So just consider that before you get started. So I'll have a look at my account here. So you have to start by signing in. This is going to pop up exactly the same interface you're going to get when you log into the Azure portal. Now I want to talk to you about the type of account you use here. So how many of you log into the Azure portal with your live ID? Anybody? Okay, don't do that. Log in with an organizational account that you create in your Azure AD. What you're going to find when you're working with the PowerShell modules, that your runbooks will fail, and you'll be absolutely certain that they were authored correctly, and you could actually be right. It's just that you need to use an organizational account, something from your Azure AD. Your live ID won't suffice when we're authoring from PowerShell specifically. So when you're passing those credentials, just bear that in mind. It's somewhere between mildly aggravating and infuriating, depending on your patience. So I'll get logged in here, and this is going to synchronize with my account. So it tells me I've logged in, and the little wheel's turning in the lower right there. When the wheel stops turning, you're synced up. Still turning. We're a long ways from South Central U.S. in the Gold Coast, so we'll give it a second. There we go. So now you can see in my environment here, I have some variables. I have some assets that are cloud only, right? And I can highlight those items, and I can take that asset that's cloud only right there, and I can download it. And once I download, it will flip over to NSYNC here in just a couple of seconds' time. So that's really all there is to it. So as you're working with those assets, you do need to make sure that they're present locally in your cache, or you won't be able to access them.
Can I just mention something?
You may.
All right. So if you go to the configuration tab, you see this folder path here. This is where everything is going to be stored. So if you are downloading your runbooks locally, you can find in this folder.
So if you get onto Tal's workstation, I recommend you grab the contents of that folder right now. So that's really a great addition. Why don't we have a look at
source control?
Yeah. Let's switch over to yours and have a look at GitHub. So for those of you that aren't using GitHub yet, have a look here, and we're gonna just
okay.
GitHub 101.
So I've got a GitHub account, and where I'm actually paying for my account, so I can set up some private repositories. So I've set up one called Azure Automation. I'm going to use this to synchronize all my runbooks to this repository here. So now switching to my automation account, you guys can see there's a source control integration icon here. So right now it's not set up, so I can quickly set it up. So right now, source control integration only supports GitHub where Visual Studio Online, they promise it's coming, so it's coming soon. So let me choose GitHub.
So Tal, you're going in to get into you to connect to GitHub now.
Yes.
Do you already have a GitHub repository?
I do have a GitHub repository. So you do have to set up a repository first. If you're using Git for Windows, you can use that. Or if you use command line, you can use command line to set it up as well. For me, just easier, just create one from the website itself.
Yeah. So really, to set up a new repository, it's as simple as just clicking.
Yep.
Create new, right?
Yep. So go to new repository. There's a button there, right?
Yeah.
So make sure that because you're going to use that to synchronize your runbooks, and so if you don't want other people or the rest of the world to see your runbooks, make sure you choose a private repository, which you have to pay to get that functionality.
Yeah. Well, it's something like $7 US a month, I think, if you want private repositories.
$7 for 5 private repositories.
There you go.
Yep. Okay, so now I just have to authorize it. So in order to authorize it, I don't have to enter any credential here. As long as I'm already signed to GitHub on this machine, you should automatically pick it up.
All righty.
Right. So I have already completed authorization. And then click OK. I can choose a repository. I'm going to choose this one, Azure Automation. Choose a branch. So I can just use master branch, or if you want to, when you synchronize a runbook, if you want to synchronize to a specific branch, you can choose one here as well. So in this demo, I'm just going to choose master. And I'm going to do a folder path. So to specify folder path, all the names starts with a forward slash, and then come on, load.
Now, so while we're waiting for that, if you haven't used Git before, and there are a few of you that raised your hands, there's actually a free book. If you just search for Pro Git, black cover, yellow trim, and if you read chapters 1, 2, and 3, that gives you the bare necessities to use Git. Everything from there is going to be more or less a bonus, I think. But it was one of those books that I think, you know, had a price tag on it at one point in time, and now it's open source and freely available.
So I'm just going to create one called AU Ignite. And OK. And then now it's going to go to my GitHub. And probably will take a while, but we'll see later on.
So while that's running, here. Tal, what is this doing in the background? What's happening?
So the GitHub integration actually triggers a global runbook that is available for every account, and use that global runbook to create the GitHub repository.
So backing up, but essentially.
Oh, okay. So when you create a runbook, you can check, there's an icon called check-in. Once you click on the icon, it's automatically going to save your runbook to your GitHub repository. And it, of course, because source control, you can go back to previous version as well. And you can also, if you want to, you can also pull it back to synchronize all the GitHub runbooks back to your automation account.
Okay, so what Tao just said is really important there. So we can author a runbook. I can click that check-in capability, which is going to check it into my repository, my Git repo. So now I have a copy somewhere under source control, so I can pull it back. And then he said you can also synchronize from your GitHub repository to your Azure Automation account. So,
yep.
So let's say, Tao,
yep.
In my fictional scenario here, I've written a couple of runbooks, and I haven't hit the check-in option yet.
Yep.
And somebody comes behind me, and they hit that sync button. What happens to my runbooks that I haven't checked in yet?
Okay, so when you check into your GitHub repository, you check in individual runbooks. But if you want to pull it back from your GitHub repository, that wipes out everything. So it not only just does one runbook, but synchronize everything you have already checked in your GitHub repository. So for example, you have 10 runbooks in your GitHub repository, it's going to wipe out, it's going to overwrite all 10 of them. So be very careful when you use that. You might wipe out some runbooks that accidentally.
And that may change over time, but that's a really important distinction, right? We can synchronize one runbook at a time up, but when it comes back, everything's coming back. So, synchronize carefully.
Okay, so do you want me to show them how to add a...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. So if I go to edit... see this button here called check-in? Once I do that, and it's going to trigger another global runbook that actually check-in this runbook into your GitHub repository.
Mission accomplished.
Yep.
Cool. Anything else you want to show us?
Nope.
On we go.
All right. Now let me switch back to you.
Thank you, sir. So new automation capabilities. I mentioned PowerShell DSC, or Azure Automation DSC, as it's called in Azure. Gives us the ability to define configurations for our systems, for our Windows and Linux systems, and to apply them to a system over and over again. Idempotence, or idempotence, depending on who you hear mention it. Basically, I can apply a configuration and the result will be the same every time. So if I apply a DSC configuration that's set to install the IIS web server role on a virtual machine, the first time it applies, it's going to do that, and each time it comes back and checks, it's not going to reinstall it. It's simply going to ensure that it's present before moving on. The graphical authoring tool we'll get a look at in just a minute, and we can manage all of our runbooks from the portal, as you've already seen us doing. So very simple in that respect. So let's talk about this hybrid worker. If you haven't familiarized yourself yet with the Operations Management Suite, the first slide I saw at Ignite, I was actually standing waiting for the bus at Chicago O'Hare, and I'm watching Satya Nadella on my phone, and I see the first slide about the Operations Management Suite, and here it is. And on the right is Azure, and on the left is Amazon, and beneath in my data center is Hyper-V and vSphere. And I called my wife and I said, honey, you know that thing I've been telling you that was going to happen for a really long time? It's happening. It's something akin to the singularity, right? So it was described as a single control plane for all of your on-premises and cloud investments. So Microsoft, I think, did a very good job of owning the fabric in the data center, and they're doing a fantastic job of owning the fabric in the public cloud, and now they are moving to own the control plane, to own management in a heterogeneous fashion. So this hybrid worker is very interesting in that if you decide you would like to run Azure Automation runbooks in your environment, you do need to connect your Operations Management Suite subscription, which, by the way, Microsoft.com/OMS, takes about 5 minutes to sign up. We'll click a couple of buttons and actually connect our Azure Automation account with our OMS subscription, which lights up this fantastic new capability. the hybrid worker. So OMS manages our systems either through, connects to our systems either through SCOM, System Center Operations Manager, or through a standalone Microsoft monitoring agent that's talking to the operations management suite to my sub. This hybrid worker requires zero inbound ports because the monitored system, the managed node, is actually running the Microsoft monitoring agent. So it's more or less pumping data up all the time. It's communicating all the time. When you kick off a runbook and say, I'd like you to run on the hybrid worker, that monitoring agent's going to pick up that request, pull it down, do its work, send the results back, all with no firewall discussions. And I love not talking to firewall administrators. It was a good day.
What about that hybrid worker? It's currently down, and you still want to run a job.
So the hybrid worker is down, and I still want to run a job. Okay, so this is kind of an interesting point. I actually can't tell Azure Automation that I would like to target a single hybrid worker. I have to target a hybrid worker group. So if you only have one hybrid worker when you add it, you simply specify a group name. And if I'd like to make it highly available, I can add a second hybrid worker to that group. And then Azure Automation will throw it out there, and the one that picks it up will pick it up and run the job and send the results back. So if you think about Orchestrator, in an environment with data centers on multiple continents, so maybe I have North America, I have APAC, I have Europe, I'm typically going to have Orchestrator environments in, you know, server infrastructure in multiple locations, right? Because my runbook servers need to be well connected to the SQL database. So you have a fantastic new capability here that all of that server infrastructure, whether it's Orchestrator or it's SMA, Azure is the server infrastructure, right? It's all cloud resident. So if we want to stand up runbook workers all across the planet, I can basically install the Microsoft monitoring agent and then run two lines of PowerShell. Three if you're lazy and write it the way I did, as I'll show you in a minute. Don't be like Pete. Do as I say, not as I do. But you know, high availability is easy to do. And the integration possibilities are virtually endless because a hybrid worker is a virtual machine in your data center. So if I want to connect to Operations Manager, I'm going to install the Operations Manager PowerShell module. I'm actually also going to install Tau's Ops Manager Extended module because it does lots of other stuff. Config Manager, Power CLI if you're a VMware shop, Amazon, Picket. You just need to install the PowerShell module.
So the PowerShell module on hybrid worker at the moment, you have to manually install yourself. Unlike the SMA runbook worker, when you import a module into SMA, that automatically gets distributed to all your runbook workers. But for hybrid worker in Azure Automation, you have to currently install modules yourself.
And that's an important point. And if you have a particular type of job you're only going to run on a hybrid worker, you need to install the PowerShell module on the hybrid worker. You don't necessarily need to import it.
You still have to import it to get the connection types.
If it has connections in it, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm looking at like a System Center module, so if there's not a connection asset defined in the PowerShell, I can actually get away with not loading it in Azure Automation. The number one reason I think you probably should is that you're going to forget that you only intended to run things only on a hybrid worker, and you're going to try to do something from an Azure-based runbook worker, and it's not going to work. So if you're going to install the module on the hybrid worker, it's probably a reasonably good policy to import it into Azure Model Automation if you can.
Alternatively, you can use PS Remoting from the hybrid worker if you don't want to install the module.
Which is something we do in Orchestrator a lot. We actually use PowerShell remoting, so rather than installing 20 PowerShell modules on an Orchestrator runbook worker, we'll just remote over to a system and execute locally. No reason you can't do that with a hybrid worker. And we'll talk about webhooks in just a minute. I'm going to let that one sit. But webhooks are an interesting way that we can trigger runbooks without credentials and without PowerShell, so we'll dig into that in just a minute. And if you want to initiate a runbook in Azure Automation, it's actually very, very simple. It's just a few lines of code. So let's hop over here, and I want to just show you a couple of things here. So Let's start with my Azure Automation subscription. So let's just go back to step one. I had my Azure Automation sub, and then I have the Operations Management Suite. So I went to Microsoft.com/OMS. I signed up. Takes a couple of minutes. You create a workspace, which is kind of a container that's going to hold all your stuff. You can actually set up multiple workspaces. And it's probably a pretty good idea to create different workspaces for dev and test and prod as you're exploring what's going on.
Yep.
So I'm logged into my OMS subscription here. I have added a few of what they call solutions. So OMS does a really good job at consuming performance and log data and analyzing that information and visualizing it with virtually no effort on your part. It's very, very easy. You can measure the time to value in hours and set up time in minutes. So to get that hybrid worker capability, I need to connect OMS to my Azure Automation subscription, which gives me that additional capability. So you're going to see I've added the automation solution, and here it is right here. And it's not doing a lot. Some of the elements within OMS today are really just visualizing data. There's no real work happening there. But you saw the number of runbooks and the number of jobs. I click one node in, and I'll get some information that I need to configure and connect my automation account. And when you connect, you're basically going to authenticate just as you otherwise would. Now, I happen to be authenticating to my OMS subscription with the same organizational Azure Active Directory account as I'm using for my AD sub. So you can actually connect your OMS subscription to your Azure Active Directory very quickly, very easily, which means we've got single sign-on for both of those elements. So if I want to dig into my runbooks here, when I click this, you're going to notice that it takes me over. It would have authenticated me, except I'm already authenticated to my Azure sub, so it's just going to pull up Azure Automation within my screen there. So just a quick hop over to that. So let's run down and have a look. So I have a reasonably unexciting runbook here. So I like to have a sanity check to make sure that my hybrid worker is doing what it's supposed to do. So it seems to me just sort of fascinating that I can kick off a runbook in an Azure data center anywhere on planet Earth and run it on my hybrid worker that sits in my living room 30 miles north of Houston, Texas, running atop a Dell Galaxy Starship that makes more noise than my wife appreciates. So I'm going to kick this off by hit the start button, and this just wants a message. So I will say, hello, Gold Coast. And we'll look at this runbook a couple of times. Really, all it does is creates a text file, dumps some processes, and I'm actually writing my results out to an event log. How many of you Orchestrator fans out there have you ever used an external database to track your job results? So I see a couple of you there. So if you ever think you had to, you're not going to have to anymore. All right, so I click Hybrid Worker here. You're going to see it asked me for that pool, that group. So I have a pool. I called it my config manager pool. I'll hit OK. And that's going to send that job, queue it up for my runbook worker in that pool, which happens to be in Houston, Texas. So when you're creating these groups, these pools of hybrid workers, give them names that you can remember. And they should probably be descriptive of location and or function. So if I'm setting up runbook workers in Brisbane, they should have, you know, their own unique group. So when I'm sending jobs to a particular group, they're all happening in the same general physical location, right? So think of it as just the runbook workers for your infrastructure in that particular area. Now, this job says it's already done. So I'm just going to pop over to my hybrid worker and have a look here. So this hybrid worker is simply a Microsoft monitoring agent, you know, connected to my OMS sub with a couple of lines of PowerShell run to say that it was a hybrid worker. So Pete. Yeah.
What's the difference between this monitoring agent and the one that comes with SCOM?
Well, so this is really primarily a newer version that's been, you know, enhanced. Yep.
And so when you want to leverage a machine as a hybrid worker, you have to use the direct agent, so the one that you download from OMS.
Yeah, so
you cannot use the one from SCOM.
Yeah, so to boil that down, when you set up your OMS sub, there's an area where you can connect your operations manager management group, and I can in the ops manager interface in the operations console, I can simply tell OMS which SCOM managed servers I would like to be connected to OMS. Those can't be runbook workers. So to Tal's point, you have to install a standalone agent on you should be installing them, generally speaking, on dedicated runbook workers, unless you know you're dealing with a branch office scenario. But at the end of the day, you know, we want our applications to be managed.
Yep.
And so dedicated runbook workers make sure that we are managing everything.
So you make sure you use the direct agent that you download from OMS Workspace. If you want to monitor that runbook worker in your SCOM environment, you just have to multi-home it also to a SCOM management group.
Yeah, so the agent isn't anything magic. It will talk to OMS, it will talk to operations manager, it's the same agent. So when you install that Microsoft monitoring agent, there's actually a PowerShell module that's installed in the process, and it's the hybrid registration module that you'll see on my screen here. So really, to make a runbook worker, or to make a monitored system a hybrid worker, I just need to change directories over to where that module's installed, and I just import the hybrid registration worker, and then I run one line of PowerShell. So that PowerShell has the name of the pool, the runbook worker pool I would like this hybrid worker to be a member of. If that name already exists, this server's automatically going to become an additional member of that pool. If it doesn't exist, it's going to create a new pool. Simple as that. I have to put in my endpoint and my key, which I'm not going to show you here, which I get right out of the settings area in my subscription. And actually, if you need to remove a hybrid worker, if you get the pool name wrong or something of that nature, removing is one line as well. So this will be out in the GitHub repo, and you can pull it down just so you've got the syntax. But that's really all there is to setting up a hybrid worker. And by the time you refresh your OMS sub, and your Azure Automation sub, you'll actually see the hybrid worker showing up in your Azure subscription. So when I go to, I'll get out of my Hello World bits and just get back to my Automation sub here. When you go into your assets, you'll actually see one hybrid worker. Simple as that. And I mentioned that we can initiate these runbooks from PowerShell. So I think something you might not be aware of is a few days ago, Microsoft updated the Azure PowerShell modules. And there were some challenges a few months ago where the current, you know, the new and improved Azure Resource Manager PowerShell commandlets were conflicting with the Azure V1 Azure Service Management commandlets. So they've updated those, which means the syntax, the commandlet names, et cetera, are updated. So when you go out there searching for how do I launch a runbook in Azure Automation from PowerShell? Virtually everything you read is going to be wrong as of a couple of weeks ago, but no matter, here it is. So what this is the Hello World runbook that you can pick up out of that that GitHub repository. It's very simply going to import the Azure RM.automation PowerShell module. You want to make sure you get the 1.0.0 version. It was released earlier in November.
Yep.
You'll see I'm logging into my account. I'm passing some parameters to my runbook there. And basically, if you have a runbook with more than one set of parameters, you put a semicolon between them like that, and you just have the name value pairs, world without end, amen. So you can pass in as many as you need
to. So it's a hash table.
It's a hash table.
Yep.
There we go. Thank you.
No worries.
I love it. So highlight that, I'll hit it. And that's going to submit the job, and a few seconds later, that'll log the same result in the file we saw over there just with an updated time. You see, I'm back actually picking up my creds just so I don't have to show you my password here. And I'm not using a custom domain, so if you're, you know, I've got the default on Microsoft.com suffix happening there. So that'll kick off, and the job will be logged and tracked in Azure Automation just as I kicked it off in the console. It's not going to take any longer to run. It'll just take a couple of minutes there. And that's about all there is to it. So there it says it ran. If I go back to my my hybrid worker. I can master Alt-Tab. Clearly I have not. In a few seconds, I'll get an update here that this is run. So it's about as simple as that. Now, could I take that a couple of steps further and maybe connect my enterprise portal, whatever that may be, to Azure Automation to launch that? You know, I could, you know, trigger Orchestrator with a PowerShell script to launch this, or I could, you know, use some more interesting ways that we'll have a look at in a minute. But yeah, and there, as I was rambling, it ran again. So just added another little bit from a demo I did at a conference last week. Not Ignite. Anything else you want to say before we walk away from that? I know you could probably write a book about that. You may be writing a book about that.
Maybe.
Maybe. So let's talk about webhooks. Tao loves webhooks, and he has just a completely sick demo we're going to show you today. I love this thing. So webhooks basically allow you to start a particular runbook in Azure Automation using a single HTTP request. Microsoft did not invent webhooks. Webhooks have been around for a while, and I've always thought of them in the use case that I've seen most often, which is for continuous deployment. So when my developers check code into a GitHub repository, I can actually configure my repository. I can configure Git to trigger a deployment automation sequence, and it doesn't have to be Azure Automation. It could be, you know, something system centered, Jenkins. Insert your DevOps tool here, right? Doesn't matter. But we can hard code parameters in there, so you could do something crazy, like if you had a dev who wanted to start up all the virtual machines in their subscription, I could actually hard code the resource group name, so they could just click a URL and it would start up all their virtual machines, and I could give them another to stop them. But you can also pass parameters in the HTTP body. A little more interesting, a little more challenging, much more flexible.
Yep.
Something Tao's going to show you. This is very secure. So once you actually create that webhook in the console, if you forget to get the URL, you can't go back and get that URL. So you have to delete it and start over, which is exactly what I did the first time. I realized that I didn't have the URL. I went back. Negative. It has an expiration date. So that webhook has a date after which it is no longer valid. Now you can set that date for, you know, a long, long time in the future, so it effectively has no date, but
default is 1 year.
Yeah, so a default is 1 year, like a lot of certificates on Windows systems, which is not long enough for me. So I like more like 50 years.
Yep.
But it's really simple. I mean, I'm not using PowerShell. I don't have to use credentials. I'm not authenticating. And if I'm working with folks that don't use Azure Automation every day and I just want to enable them in a particular scenario, this is a great way for me to securely empower those folks without giving too much.
That's why the URL cannot be retrieved after creation. So you treat your URL as your credential, because anyone who's got the URL can trigger your runbooks. Right.
So you said that because you like that part best, don't you? You like the...
Sorry.
He likes the control. So let's talk through the scenario that Tao's going to show you here. So it starts with the assumption that you have your Azure subscription, your Azure Automation account set up, hybrid worker in place, and you have SharePoint.
Yep.
So what version's of SharePoint? What kind of SharePoint? Are you?
SharePoint 2013, SharePoint 2010, and SharePoint Online.
Yeah, so the reason the SharePoint's in the middle there is it doesn't matter where it is.
Yep.
And you know, it even supports, for this particular scenario, it supports back to legacy SharePoint. So the way this demo we kind of wanted to walk you through what's happening here, because this is fantastic, but it's much more fantastic if we explain what's actually happening first, and then you'll be much more impressed with what Tao's doing here. So it starts by a user coming to a SharePoint portal and adding a request to a SharePoint list. I need to onboard a new
user,
little Active Directory user. So SharePoint list, very easy stuff. So there's a SharePoint workflow in the background that's going to trigger a webhook, a URL to do some work. And it's going to pass the parameters. The information from that SharePoint list is going to be passed as parameters through that webhook to trigger a runbook. Now, before we get past this, I'm going to make Tao explain to you what SharePoint, I'm going to have him show you what SharePoint workflow is, because he's actually using something.
SharePoint Designer?
Yeah. So SharePoint Designer and some of the default workflows are much less complex than they might sound at first glance. But so step two, SharePoint workflow is going to see that a list item's been added. It's going to trigger the runbook via the webhook. The delay there. Let's try this again. So step three, it triggers that runbook. Now step four, I'm going to be patient here. Come on, there we go. That runbook up here in Azure, so it's an Azure Automation runbook, but it's been triggered on an Azure runbook worker, so a cloud resident runbook worker. And that runbook is then triggering a runbook on a hybrid worker. So WTH.
What's WTH?
What the heck are you doing that
for? Okay, because currently when you use webhook to trigger a runbook, you cannot target a runbook worker group. So to work around this problem, we firstly use an intermediate runbook to run on Azure, and then use that the first runbook to trigger another one, the second one on your hybrid worker.
And so that's a capability that will probably be enabled in the future, yeah?
Yep, they said it's coming.
Yeah, so that's a very important point, almost important as the fact that I actually taught Tao something that he didn't know just now. So set your watches for that one. So the fifth step, that second runbook, is going to create an account in Active Directory Domain Services. So Active Directory on your premises, wherever, right? So the Windows 2012 type of Active Directory. Now, it's actually a little bit better than that because I think it looks like you're using ADSI in that
script,
right?
Yeah, when I was designing this runbook sample, I grabbed a PowerShell script using ADSI that was written in 2009 before the Active Directory PowerShell module was even created, and it just worked. So
yeah, there you go. So number six, an email is going to be sent to the requester with account details, and then that runbook is going to go in the last step and update the SharePoint list with the account details. So that all happens in, what, 3, 4, 5 minutes time?
Yep.
And so actually, let's just look at what you've done. Why don't you show what I just told there?
Okay, so I'm on my SharePoint Online portal. So you can see I've created a customer list. So I've defined all the fields that I need to capture, all the information I need to capture for the new user request. I can use single line test, or I can use choices, et cetera. And also that for every SharePoint list that you create, there's some fields that exist but doesn't exist on the default view. Like it's just hidden from the default view, for example, the create by. This is actually the requester, right? So we're going to grab some information from these fields as well. So you can't see that from the list, but you can still get that from using the workflow. So let's start from creating a new list item. So job title, system engineer. Just call John Smith. Description, John loves automation. All right. Department IT, IT. Pick a company, location, Queensland.
How many of you have SharePoint in your environment? How many SharePoint shops do we have here? Wow, quite a few.
Okay, so I've created this list item. So in SharePoint Designer.
Tao, where do I get SharePoint Designer?
You can download from Microsoft website for free. It's a free tool, but you need to have permission to use that. Or you need to have permission on your SharePoint farm to use this.
Oh, so design. We have to have permissions in SharePoint, so I'm not just going to download and do this with
if
nobody
you don't,
knowing.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Right. So I've created a workflow for this SharePoint list.
Okay, Tao, so this is a SharePoint workflow, right?
Yep, this is a SharePoint workflow.
So give us in a couple of sentences what in the world SharePoint workflow is for anybody who doesn't know.
So basically, it triggers something based on an event. So as you can see here, I've configured it to trigger to this to trigger this workflow when a new item is created. You can also subscribe to other events as well. So now if I go to the workflow, you can see that I built a variable called dictionary. So in here, I'm just going to, it's very similar to a hash table in PowerShell. So basically, I'm giving each item a name and then a value. Value is basically subscribe, I get the value from the list, right? So I put everything together into this variable called dictionary. And I also grabbed the request ID, sorry, the requester's email from the field as well. So I'm getting the field from created by field, and I want the email field from this this value. So okay, so now I've built my dictionary. I'm going to call my my Azure Automation webhook. So this the URL is the webhook itself. You specify the HTTP method is post, and then in here we pass the dictionary as the HTTP body. Okay, so once the third step, once I call the webhook, I'm going to update the list item to something like status equals processing. So you know that the process has begun. And then that's it. That's all it is for this SharePoint workflow. Okay, so now let's go back to this item here. You see it's already created. Oh, wow, that's so quick.
Wow.
So, and also, I've just got an email.
So show us
the requester.
Show us your Active Directory user.
Yep.
How about?
Oops. Okay, so now go back to my AD in the tester view.
And what Tal's done with that email there is actually addressed a very important element of automation. When you automate processes, you need to close the loop with all of the involved parties, right? So automation that actually prompts people to pick up the phone to call to see what happened is actually sort of giving back the money that you saved by automation. So you always want to make sure you notify the interested parties, whether that's through updating a ticket in a service desk, sending an email, whatever it takes to close that loop.
So for this example, that the end user is completely isolated from your actual automation space. All they're going to see is a runbook, SharePoint list, and they get notified by email.
So we can hand over that webhook to our SharePoint admin, who can work with our directory services team to automate this process, and they never get a look. Need to get a look. At Azure Automation, it's really just about that simple.
Yep.
Anything else you want to show us before we?
So, a couple of things that for this runbook is that for sending the email out, I'm using a custom module that written by myself, and also to update the SharePoint list from the runbook itself, it's also another custom module called SharePoint SDK, also written by myself. I'm going to include the link in the. In the GitHub repository, you can download it and try it out yourself.
But we can download those, and they're free, yeah?
Yep, they're free. They own a PowerShell gallery as well. If you just go and search my name, you should see it there.
Tal writes pretty good stuff, too. He's never taken my environment down, I can say with with confidence.
Eight.
Yep. Nice demo. Thanks, Tal. So let me not black out the screen and hit the right button. So let's talk about PowerShell DSE for just a minute. So desired state configuration was a new capability announced quite a few months ago by Microsoft that it allows us to deploy and manage configurations on systems in a way that group policy cannot. There's this concept of idempotence. When something is idempotent, it means that no matter how many times it's applied, the same result happens every time. I can fix my button once, and if you tell me to fix my button again, I can't because it's already done, right? So that's idempotent at the most basic level. But what you'll find from Microsoft is there are many, many PowerShell desired state modules that have been created. They were released in waves, and I stopped counting at 10. I don't know if anybody knows where we are right now, but there are quite a number out there. So there are modules that will allow us to add and remove roles and features on Windows systems, that will configure Linux boxes, will manage files and directories, start and stop services, deploy software. I can actually deploy, you know, System Center if I wanted to bad enough with PowerShell desired state configuration. But that configuration is going to be reapplied every few minutes. So if there is a drift in configuration, I can tell DSC how I'd like it to behave. I can tell it to auto-correct if I like. I can tell it, just monitor and report, or set and forget. So I have that capability to control the flow there. So with desired state configuration, I have to set up a pull server. So a pull server, pull mode versus push mode, is really talking about your enterprise approach. When I set up a pull server, I can have nodes checking in every few minutes to see if they have a configuration and applying that over and over again. So that pull server is infrastructure that I have to have set up in my data center. So when we look at Azure Automation DSC, it's really a pull server in the cloud. So once I set up a pull server with Azure Automation DSC, I can then add Azure VMs and on-prem VMs. I can manage both my cloud and my on-prem infrastructure. So there are some limitations in there today around composite configurations, et cetera. Don't focus too much on the limitations because that's changing all the time. And we'll see parity with the on-prem capability pretty quickly. So if I want to set up Azure DSC, it's pretty simple. PowerShell, I'm going to zoom in here because I don't want to show you how to connect into my account. But what I did is pretty simple. I set up a new Azure resource group in South Central US, and then I added a new Azure Automation account. I wanted to configure a web server, so I downloaded a DSC module from the PowerShell gallery. I just used install-module, and X Web Administration is the module that will allow me to configure a web server. So if I want to configure a .NET web server, pretty simple to do that very quickly. I need to store that module in an accessible place. So what I did was actually just uploaded it to an Azure blob using AZ Copy, just using a standard open source Azure Copy tool. You could really put it anywhere. It just needs to be at a publicly accessible URL. And then I register that module. So in reality here, and I want to sort of drill in here, when I register that module, it's basically adding that capability to my pull server. So I'm going to go grab several modules, and I'm going to zip them up and put them in a directory, and I'm going to upload them to a URL, and then I'll register those with my Azure subscription. If you want to copy those up into blob storage, which is relatively easy to do, the sample script we'll give you has a sample in here and actually has a link to where you can get AZ Copy. But you can actually copy all of those modules up all at the same time. So AZ Copy really wants to upload a directory, so you can just give it a pattern match, and it will take those up there for you. Now, once you have your pull server set up, I can then drill in and add nodes in my console. So you see I've pinned my Azure Automation DSC feature to my dashboard here. So when you use something more than once, right-click it wherever you are in the console and select Pin to Dashboard, and then it shows up here next time so you don't have to drill down through menus. Once I get that configuration in place, I'll be able to come in and basically just add nodes as I wish. So you do need to make sure you get into the right account. So if you have multiple resource groups, multiple automation accounts, you want to drill into the all resources node and get down to your particular account. We're on time, so I'm gonna blow by this because we're a little short on time, and I want to get the last demo we want to get in is actually much more important than DSC. So DSC is evolving. Have a look at that if you've not had a look at that. I expect it's going to get easier and easier to configure, but in the last few months-ish here, we've seen some UI capability, some ability to configure DSC in the Azure portal, where before it was entirely PowerShell command line. So we want to talk about programmatic access to the operations management suite. So OMS is basically consuming and crunching, you know, massive amounts of log data, visualizing performance data for us. There are some scenarios where we might want to access that data programmatically. Maybe I want to send a weekly report to myself with information about, you know, event counts related to security in my environment. Maybe I want to gather up some syslog information and send some summary details to my my Linux administrator. OMS will actually manage, will collect data, you know, from Windows event logs and from syslog, and from your containers are on the coming soon list. So OMS has a search API which you can access from PowerShell. We can access from Azure Automation very easily. It'll allow us to issue a direct query using OMS's query language. OMS allows me to save queries, so if I have queries that I use repeatedly, I can save those. And through the search API, I can query those save searches. And there's even an option through PowerShell to import and export these save queries. So I can work in one, set all these queries up and test them in one workspace, export them and import them somewhere else. There are a couple of modules you can use to do this. So I could just use the RESTful API and I could write PowerShell to work with that RESTful API you know, directly. But it makes me sad for America to do that. It's much, much easier to hide the complexity of that with PowerShell. So there are a couple of different PowerShell modules for accessing the OMS Search API. One of those comes from Microsoft, from the Azure Automation team. It's available on GitHub. It's a bit more basic than the Community Edition today. So I've used both, and I actually prefer the Community Edition because the Microsoft version actually requires two modules. They've got an Azure AD module and an OMS module, where the Community Edition you know, actually wraps that authentication right into the same thing. And then if I, you know, if I have a feature request or I have a bug, I know exactly who I can call, which is really, really valuable. I think there are what maybe four guys on your team that contributed?
Yes, 3 MEPs and 1 PFE.
Yeah, so we had a little Microsoft help on the inside, but it's a really nice module. Why don't you look something up for us?
Okay.
So we'll do a quick search there, then we're going to take a look at System Center integration.
Yep. Okay, so this is my workspace. I've already got a safe search defined called new software installed on server. If you click on it, you see the query displayed on the top, and you also see the query result come back here, right? So what if you want to repeatedly execute this query and send you the result by email? So what I've done is I've defined a run, I've written a runbook. So all I'm going to do is just execute this runbook. Again, in a real world scenario, you probably need to create a schedule and then to run it repetitively. So I've defined a name. OMS demo. This is the name that I create as a connection in my environment. And I'll just have to pass in the safe search name. It's new software installed on server, as you see in the previous screen. And I want to send it to my test email address. I don't have to run this on-prem, so I just won't run it on the cloud.
Yeah, there wouldn't be much reason to run it on a hybrid worker, but you could.
Yeah, I could.
If you just had nothing to do.
I just have to load the OMS module, search module in my hybrid worker.
So while we're waiting for that to finish up, we're running close to the end of time here. Let's talk about System Center integration. So we had some ConfigMan users. We had some OpsMan users. So with Azure Automation and that hybrid worker, I can install my Ops Manager PowerShell module. I can use the Config Manager PowerShell. I can even use the old-school ConfigMan WMI.
Yep.
Because the ConfigMan module has some problems. The PowerShell module for Config Manager has some problems.
Yeah, right? I had a problem when I was running that using PowerShell remoting back. So I ended up just using a WMI.
Yeah, so I think I think we have a couple of runbooks here that would actually work with Config Manager 2007 R2 almost.
Yep.
So why don't we look at something in ConfigMan? Take us through a scenario and let's automate something.
So the scenario we prepared is that I want to add this is a collection I created in Config Manager console. So I want to add a machine in here. As you see, it's empty at the moment, right? So the runbook I've got, it's in another account. Let me just grab my, I forgot the perimeter. Just give me 1 second. Yeah, that's the one.
I wondered when your buffer would finally overflow.
All right, so this is the credential object I've created in my account. So when you pass a PS credential into your runbook, you don't have to pass the, obviously you can't pass the object. All you have to do is just specify the name of the credential that you saved in your automation account. And the collection name is AU Ignite. And I want to put a server called Jumper1. It's my jump box.
Whoops.
Jumper1. I want to run a hybrid worker. I got two groups. I want to run on this one. OK, so this is going to, soon my hybrid worker is going to grab this job. And if I show you the code.
So that hybrid worker is going to grab that job via that Microsoft monitoring agent, pull that runbook down, execute the job, report the results.
So as you can see, that all I'm doing here is using WMI object in here, few WMI queries.
So that's a WMI namespace that's been around for a long time, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Remote WMI queries, and
So I think the other takeaway here is you notice that some of the demos supported legacy capability, right? So Active Directory 2008, SharePoint 2010.
So this is the OMS search result I got back by email sent from the hybrid worker. From the runbook. So with all the fields you've specified in your search query. So if you want to hide some of the fields, you can use select. And then just pass the fields, select the fields you want in the search query, and then when you save it, and then the search, the result set is only going to show up the ones that you selected.
Yeah, this can be, the thing about OMS is it's great at aggregating and processing large amounts of data. Something that's challenging on-prem with any technology. And when we look at the system-centered data warehouses, they're definitely not without their challenges in terms of scale and complexity. So big finish. Why don't you show us our collection?
Yep.
You only have one chance here. Drum roll, please.
Let me see if the it's finished.
I'm from Missouri, which is the show me state.
Yep. Okay, so let me.
So I'm only going to believe
five.
It.
Oops. What's this?
So the challenge is not getting it into the collection. It's making Config Manager update fast enough. I showed this last week, and it would take like 60 seconds. And I spent about the same amount of time swearing that it was working.
So what they say used to be called SMS, right? Slow moving systems. So I've got a rule.
I called it Saturday, maybe Sunday.
Right. So in my run book, I know that it's going to take time. So at the end of the update collection, I've also add a command to refresh the collection membership so you get a swimmer.
Awesome.
Yep.
So there you go. So that worked. You can find it. Oh, look at that. Just in time, man. I was going to hit the button, and I feel so much better hitting the button now that number is no longer zero. Congratulations.
Right.
So pricing, if you're a System Center customer, you can actually add on to System Center for $430 US a year. For a two-pack, and there's a 10-pack price as well. There's also standalone pricing for OMS.
So, Pete, Australian dollars keep dropping, so what happens here?
I spend a little less and I go shopping.
Right. All this price is based on US price. I think that for the automation, the minute is, you just add a six at the end, so 0.026.
So 0.26 cents.
Yeah, something like that. So nice. If you look at it, it's only like, 500 minutes you get for free, right? How much is it going to cost you if you have a paid account? It's about $1. So
So you've got 500 megs of data in your free tier. So so all of this is not as difficult as it might seem. You've got a nice starting library of Azure Automation runbooks. Getting connected into OMS takes 5 minutes, guys. It's a piece of cake. Here are the resources. Couple of pages of links here. So go grab the deck off the event website. And download anything. If you can't find anything, our Twitter handles are in there. Come find us on the expo floor. We'd love to chat with you. So we're coming up against time. You guys have been great sports. We thank you. Let's give Tao a hand for